This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Shall we begin?
Expecto Patronum!
With Earth no longer habitable, the only place left to go was up.
Welcome to the Orbit.
Space debris, 1.7 tons.
저건 400 나온다. 밟아.
Hello, everybody. You are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvin. And today, because we are doing a week-long sci-fi run through a bunch of... Yesterday, we spoke about Blade Runner. Today, we're actually going to be reviewing a space opera sci-fi film that just came out this year. And it was released on Netflix. It's called Space Sweepers.
To me, the most interesting thing about it is always I get very excited when something that's quite associated with the West, something like sci-fi, is reinterpreted by other countries. And so to me, the fact that this was a Korean-led production, that it featured a largely Korean cast, some of those things are pretty interesting. The story is interesting enough. It talks about a crew of space sweepers who are basically a gang of ragtag people who go around in a spaceship collecting space debris, and they come across a mysterious girl who the rest of the authorities are on the hunt for. I feel like I'm talking about every other sci-fi film, but essentially humanity has migrated onto, Earth is dying, humanity has migrated, people are going to go live on Mars, but only the sort of elite get to go away. So that's the backdrop within which we come into the story.
Every other sci-fi story is the best way to describe this film. That should have been on the poster. It's every other sci-fi film. I would describe it as an expensive fan film that's heavily inspired by Firefly, Guardians of the Galaxy, like a lot of Guardians of the Galaxy, like some shots are like shot for shot remakes of that first film. A lot of Elysium, and a lot of some Blade Runner in it as well. So it's just a mishmash of stuff that I think someone who really loves sci-fi went in to make. And to a certain extent, the aesthetics are nice, but in a lot of other ways, the movie sort of falls apart because it has that sort of fan film feel to it. It feels like it's a bunch of movies glued together to form this weird, overly long thing.
This is the first film I've watched this year that I was very meh about. Most of the other films that we've watched, I would have had something, like if we weren't reviewing it, right? And we were just talking in the office and I said, guys, this film, I would have had something to say. I would have been able to weigh in. I had opinions. This movie is not that. So I was watching it closely because we were reviewing it. And halfway through, I found myself asking myself, you know, am I enjoying this? Is this engaging? Is it doing all the things it's supposed to do? And on the whole, for me, I think that I appreciate what you said, Sharmila. I appreciate the fact that there is an attempt to be diverse. There is an attempt to tell it with a distinct Korean flavor. There's also the idea that, you know, space sweepers are people of like multiple nationalities, because essentially the Earth is a barren wasteland and everybody who's up in space is by necessity going to be a big mix. And all that stuff is fine. I think I just wish the story was stronger or more distinct. So I feel as if it falls between two stools, partly because of the issue of language. I think that if they had been writing a wholly Korean movie where everybody speaks Korean, and they could develop it with a more distinct flavor for that particular audience, then we would have had something. As is, in the same way that it's very diverse, it feels as if it's trying to be everything to everyone, but also running out of budget in which to do that, which is why there are some moments where certain people's deaths are very vague, certain people's powers mm-hmm. are very vague. You know, even the big bad in the film, the people who are trying, UTS, the company that's trying to make Mars livable and essentially destroying Earth in the process, I don't understand how they did that.
I'll say, I think I'll say the few things that I did like about the film first. I'll start off by saying the movie is much too long. You know, about an hour into the film, I was still quite on board. But when I realized there was an hour left to go, I was like, no, this could end in 10 minutes and I'd be fine. I liked the girl at the heart of all of this. I liked the girl that... So essentially, she's... sold to us as a supposedly she's not human.
Dorothy
Park Ye-rin, who plays Dorothy, she's adorable, and I think when you have children as the heart of your story and they're actually likable and she has this great relationship with the rest of the crew, that's quite fun to watch. I also somehow really like the fact that the movie went with the everyone speaking in different languages. They have a really clever device where everyone's got translators. Mm-hmm. So you hear them speak their own language. We understand everyone through subtitles. They're speaking in their own languages to each other. There was something very cool and international and sort of future, futuristic, unified about it that I liked. But I just think that when you rip off so many ideas from so many familiar tropes, you cannot do a two-hour film without people just getting bored and knowing exactly where it's going.
Yeah, I don't think there's any actual problem with the storyline itself or the characters or the whatever they want to say, but it's that there are way too many stories going on. Like, I still cannot tell you what the movie's about or who's looking for who and then who's working for who and why some people are so angry and some people are not. Like, it's confusing. Like, every 15 minutes, some new guy shows up hunting someone else in the film. And I'm like, I can't follow. Like, and it's not because of the language. It's not because I had to depend on subtitles or whatever. But the movie has this weird pace of sort of having these huge action scenes or chase scenes where you don't actually understand what's going on. It's just a bunch of zooming in on a mechanical thing. And then someone else is like yelling and pulling a lever. And then something else shoots out of a ship. If you don't know how the ship works, and obviously we don't know how the ship works because it's a sci-fi make-believe ship, you zone out. I zoned out, at least. So that was my problem. There are too many things to follow. And I think they could have just watered it down. I mean, diluted it to maybe a couple of storylines at most. It would have been a much better film.
Yeah, so when I say language, right, I don't necessarily mean even the spoken language to one another. I think it's just the attempt to appeal to a very broad audience and not, I feel that very often the best sci-fi appeals first and foremost to people who love sci-fi, and then that kind of cascades downwards and makes for a good movie going experience for everybody, regardless of what your personal affinities may be in terms of genre. This feels like it's in the opposite direction. So it's not made to appeal to sci-fi nerds. It's made to appeal to a very general, broad base of people. And that's partly why I think you have this sort of jumble of themes, you have these jumbles of characters. Also, the reason why none of us have necessarily any problems with the characters is because they are all shorthand, right? Again, because we know... So if you've seen movies, you'll know that this is the plucky captain. You'll know that this is the hard-edged mechanical guy who's got a heart of gold. You'll know that this is the damaged boy genius who's now trying to redeem himself. You know, there are all these tropes, and the movie doesn't even disguise the fact that it's doing these tropes. Often the backstory is in a sentence. It's like one character says to another, you know, he was a drug runner, and everyone goes, yeah.
So, you know, movies like this actually end up irritating me because as someone who loves genre very much, you know, science fiction or noir, these are not, I feel like they're movies like this treat those disrespectfully. Like, you just take the surface superficial parts of what makes up these genres, put them together, and hey, I made a sci-fi film. That's not actually true. Sci-fi can be extremely complex. Sci-fi can be extremely intelligent. Take something like Arrival, right? It's one of the best films I've seen in the last 10 years. It doesn't have to necessarily look as zippy and wonderful as this film does. But to be fair, it looked great. I can't remember much of it because everything just looked like a desktop background.
agree, like 100%. But I don't know, like lately I've started to feel... I don't know how to judge movies that are sort of like you said, that lend from Hollywood, but are not from Hollywood. Because I know, for a fact, I know that no one has the kind of access or resources that Hollywood has. Like, that's just fact. No one has the kind of money or the kind of talent, access to talent at least. But I think this movie tried. And to a certain extent, I think it did something. Like some of the action set pieces, some of the characters, some of the CGI is like really, really good. But like you said, all the other things are like a mess. So I don't know where to land. Like, should you applaud the fact that they tried? Like, you know, K-Cinema went to this extent and made like their first big blockbuster space opera? Or do you judge it by Hollywood standards? Because if this was a Hollywood film, then it's bad. But as a film that came out of K-Cinema, I don't know. Like, is it good or is it still bad?
Look at Train to Busan. They took a genre that's very Hollywood, made it in Korean, like with a very Korean sensibility, and did it so well. It doesn't have to be Hollywood.
And Kingdom.
So they clearly can. So I just feel that even by Korean film standards, this isn't very high at all.
So we're talking today about Space Sweepers, not, I think, particularly broadly enjoying it or having enjoyed it. But let us know. I mean, did you like it? It's been out for a couple of weeks now. Have you seen it? You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can, of course, also tweet us at BFM Radio.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
The robot is extremely dangerous.
It is nearly indistinguishable from a real human child, but is actually a dangerous weapon that could cause mass destruction.
Look out!
Hello, you are listening to Popcorn Culture with Lynn, Sharmila and Arvind. Today we are reviewing Space Sweepers, which was directed by Jo Sung-hee, who had previously directed, I believe, The Werewolf Boy. So somebody who's very familiar with playing in genre. It stars Song Joong-ki, Kim Tae-ri, Jin Seong-koo and Yoo Hae-jin. So, and then along with that, a whole assortment of non-Korean actors, including Richard Armitage. So I think we should just dwell a little bit on this, because Richard Armitage plays the bad guy, essentially. He's the visionary of UTS, sort of a Elon Musk-esque prototype, somebody who is innovating, who is, you know, taking people to space, who's trying to populate Mars. That's it. I don't know. I mean, like, he's sort of menacing through the whole movie, but there is precious little backstory or motivation to why exactly he's so evil.
He just hates
people.
Earthlings. Yeah. People in general. Yeah. Has this huge, weird moral compass. But really, I mean, this does, the movie does the thing that a lot of Asian films do, which is just to cast predominantly white people who look like they're just holidaying in Asia and are slumming it in a film. And Richard Armitage is an actual actor, but he also is as bad as those holidaying people slumming in a Korean film, because honestly, his lines are terrible. His performance is one note. The main cast, the Korean actors, are actually pretty good. They're fun to watch. I didn't mind spending time with them. Every time Richard Armitage came on screen, I was just cringing my way through every one of his lines.
It's like someone saw the last Hobbit movie and went like, you know when you had dragon sickness? Like, just do that. Like, all the time. Like, throughout this. Don't change face. Don't change the way you speak. Just do that growling voice that you have for this film. That's all we need. And I think I guess it's easy money for him, so good for him. Maybe, like you said, maybe he was holidaying, who knows. But also, this whole thing is green screen, so he probably never left his house, which is even easier money in that sense. But yeah, not a good performance from someone who, like, we know can put out like really, really good performances.
Okay, so I want to dial it back a little bit, because we've used an assortment of words to talk about this movie. Broadly speaking, none of them have been all that positive in nature. But aside from sci-fi, and I think we've dinged it pretty badly on the idea of it being in the genre of sci-fi, the other part of it is that it's a space opera. And I actually think that if it had taken the space opera stuff ran it even further, kind of built up and clarified some of those themes even more, because there are actual like enmities and relationships between our good guys and the bad guy that don't become clear until the third act, and then again only in a sentence. You don't actually get to see them really like talk about how he ruined my life, or you know, I once built a bomb and put it under his pillow. Like you don't get that kind of relationship building. And I kind of wish that they had taken the space opera stuff, the stuff that was more in line with Serenity as opposed to Star Wars, and just went to town on it. And then I think we could watch it in the way that space operas should be appreciated, which is to say a little bit of pastiche, a little bit of satire, a little bit of comedy, and also a fair amount of melodrama. And if I watched it on that basis, the film is better. However, I think, again, I go back to that point. I think it's too middle. It just aims for the middle and it doesn't go for the jugular. And I wish it had.
100%. You know, Arvind, you mentioned Firefly. You just said Serenity, Lynn. And really, I think I would totally be down for a TV series that featured the crew of the ship. Victory, I think the ship is called. They're actually pretty fun. The actors who play them are really good. They've each got, and they're very tropey, yes, but I can see them work in a space like a television show that is also a space opera, because I like their vibe. I can probably take shorter amounts of time with them going off on adventures. And this world that they exist in is really quite interesting. It's just that because everything becomes about this grand humanity surviving and the survival of this girl that's supposedly a danger to humanity and so on, we don't get enough of that other stuff, which probably would have been fun and less weirdly existential, but nobody cares.
Yeah, I think it would have worked as a TV show for sure. Or this thing should have been split into a trilogy. So like an hour and a half movies, you could have split this storyline into three different parts. And told this, because, you know, instead of cramming everything into one, because I think there is a story to tell there. It's just that maybe they didn't know which to focus on. Speaking of which, and speaking of tropes, did you guys understand why they did the whole Wizard of Oz thing in this movie? And that's not a spoiler. It's just, it's there. Like Dorothy's there. And then you have like Uncle Tiger, who's, you know, pretty obvious. And then you have the Tin Man. Why was that even here in this film?
It just seemed like, I think I just thought that they felt, oh, it's a different world. Her job is to save a different world in some way, right? But it's one of those half-baked, like it's cool to have a reference, but it doesn't really pan out kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that it was, it sounds very much like a half-developed theme, which a lot of the movie has. You know, it tries to talk about parenting at some point, and the guilt that a parent can feel in failing to look out for their child. It tries to talk about the dangers of being an engineered person, of having an engineered planet. Again, those get about 10 minutes each. Basically, each theme gets 10 minutes, and then it's like the Russian roulette of movie themes, and then you have to see which one is going to stick. And I wish that they had just leaned into the more melodramatic kind of crazy stuff, that they had done that fully, because there were moments, particularly in the climax of the movie, where it really felt like they ran out of budget, as if it was in that exact moment, like you're just about to complete it, and then the execs burst into the room and go, no, you just cut it there. It's fine.
The membership expired.
That's what it felt like. And then now they have to pay for an account. They don't feel like it.
It honestly feels like they filmed two or three different movies with like Richard Armitage in his, again, maybe his apartment somewhere, and then the space crew in one place, and then everything else with just like a collection of ragtag extras that they just like bought lunch for. That really was what the film felt like.
I will shout out the music though. That's one thing that I really enjoyed. I actually stayed through the credits for the music because the score was pretty good. I wish I knew who composed it. I didn't get the person's name, but that's one thing that I think they went all out. And the music stuck, and the music was very, at times the music was pretty emotional when it had to be. So if anything in this movie worked, I would give props to the score. Really good score.
So in closing, I think, Arvind, you're going to get your wish, because the end of the movie, not to spoil anything, clearly sets it up for sequels. Like they're trying to you. I mean, it's quite clear, right? Like
it looks like they might do an adventure, though. And I don't know. I know we've spent a lot of time talking about how the film didn't quite work. But if you just take it as a, like, I have nothing else to watch and I want something mindless, it's kind of fun. It's not the worst. And so I don't know if they toned down on some of the things I didn't like, I might be okay with watching this crew adventure through the universe.
Yeah, so like Space Sweepers, and then they changed the S to like a number two. Yeah, that's the kind of movie I want to watch for sure. Space Two Spurs.
You guys know I will be here to review and watch with you whatever it is that we collectively choose. So there we are. We've been talking about Space Sweepers, which I think it's one of the few moments actually in which we've all almost liked and disliked different things. The overall sentiment is the same, but the things that we've plucked out to either variously enjoy or not have been quite different. So tell us, I mean, did you enjoy Space Sweepers? Did you, you know, enjoy it as like a Sunday afternoon watch, which is when I think it's best? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio, and of course, write to us at movies@bfm.my.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.